Welcome to Upper Cumberland Outdoors. I'm your host, Brad Halfacre. Today I've got Steve Carter with Outdoor Junction. Steve, muzzleloader season is upon us. It's open through the November 18th. Tell us anything that Outdoor Junction has that the muzzleloader enthusiast might need. You got anything new and exciting over there?
I think this year is going to be a whole lot like last year as to what's that we're carrying. We had the new CVA Paramount 40 caliber muzzleloader, which was kind of marketed as a long-range 500-yard muzzleloader that was supposed to hit the market this year. But for whatever reason, just the logistics of all that's going on during these times, those guns, none of the Paramounts are going to come into the country until January, possibly February. So anybody looking for those, the country's delayed on those. Well, also, for people, powder's been really hard to get this year. We can't keep up, we can't get in the volume of powder that we need to go through season, so please don't wait till the last minute wherever you're getting your stuff at. That's not answering your question, but it's giving you a heads up of what to look for.
Is that going with the traditional black powder, or is this like with Pyrodex? Or
traditional black powder has gone away. I'm not sure there's any place in the state of Tennessee that sells it anymore. The only use that I'm aware of for the traditional black powders we knew 40 years ago would be Civil War reenactment, so that you can have the smoke when the guns go off. We went from black powder that probably kind of went away, and I'm just guessing, about 40 years ago. I grew up with it, and we went to Pyrodex. Pyrodex was much cleaner, much less smoky, and didn't stink the house up like the black powder and that rotten egg smell that was for the people that used it. Definitely remember for 2 weeks it still stunk. But as we've progressed, we've got cleaner and less smoky. Now we've got some of the powders that basically leave no residue and very minimal smoke. Your Blackhorn 209, your Hodgson's White Hots, some of those are so much cleaner that Pyrodex is still around, but as far as the number of people using it, a lot of 777 and some of these other powders have kind of replaced both the black powder and the Pyrodex.
So like me, like I'm a traditional flintlock. I like to get out there. I'm a long hunter, reenactor from way back, but I also like to put on that long, I got a 45 flintlock, and would some of that work in my flintlock right now? We just have to try it.
Yes, it would. Black powder is probably one of the easiest powders to ignite, but I'm not sure where you would find the black powder at to use in your flintlock now.
What you're talking about, the residue, you know, the traditional stuff, if you left that in there for a while, you'd get pitted and things like that.
So we see some guns come in each year. It's not uncommon for us to throw some in the dumpster. They'll have 2 to 3 inches worth of growth coming out the end of the barrel. It's pitted beyond comprehension, and it's not fixable. It's pitted so bad that the breech plugs will be froze up, and when they get like that, all we can do is throw them away and start over. But these newer powders have ease that situation up quite a bit.
Well, that's good, because like you're talking about, I remember as a kid cleaning ours, you know, the smell, my mom complained about, oh, you're stinking up the house, you know.
That's correct.
You know, stinking up the whole house.
Oh, it's much better now.
Yeah. Well, tell us about some myths people might have about muzzleloaders, you know, some fears or myths about them.
There's a lot of myths out there. I don't know that we got enough time on this show to cover all of them. And, you know, like in the store, we won't have a discussion if you tell us something. But one of them that was pretty comical that went around 3 or 4 years ago, maybe a little longer, was the 209 primers was too hot for the pellets, and it would blow them down the barrel before they could ignite them. Now, if you kind of think about that, you're going to throw in a flame into a piece of powder, you know it's fixing to burn. It's not going to blow it down the barrel. But there is a lot of myths out there with all firearms and all shooting. You just have to kind of work through them. if you're a beginner coming into the sport, you'll hear a lot of them, and you may not know enough to know what is right and what is wrong. I know the internet has some good information, but there's a lot of bad information out there also.
You know, I've heard everything, you know, over the years that they're not as accurate as a regular traditional rifle, but you know, these muzzleloaders have come a long way.
They've come a long ways. The gun I was telling you about a minute ago, the CVA Paramount, we sight a lot of guns in, especially if it's going to be a gun that's set up for a longer distance. When you start looking at a gun, a muzzleloader that shoots a 3 to possibly a 4-inch group at 300 yards, that's as good as a lot of these rifles that will shoot off the shelf.
Yeah, and so they're very accurate.
They're extremely accurate. Not all of them, but if you buy some of the better muzzleloaders now, the CVA kind of owns the muzzleloading market. When TC got out of it, and I should know this, but I think I just went blank. Another company it was in, it's been in it for years. I think they've gotten out of it, which doesn't leave but just a few.
Is Knight still in it?
Knight was the one I was trying to tell you.
Knight.
We think they have closed shop because we can't get any of the disc or anything from them, and nobody answers the phone when we call over there trying to place an order. So we haven't officially heard that, but we have reason to believe that they have
closed up. Back in the day, but any, Thompson Center, Knight and CVA was
that,
the top three.
That's correct. And Thompson Center probably owned it there for a while. And now CVA and Bagheras went together, or it's the same company, sister companies. And you start putting those Bagheras barrels in CVA muzzleloaders, they shoot phenomenal.
Wow. We'll be right back with Steve Carter with Outdoor Junction. Welcome back. I've got Steve Carter with Outdoor Junction. Steve, when a customer buys a muzzleloader from the Outdoor Junction, now you help them set it up. You go for everything
we'll
with them.
We'll do whatever they need, from the bear gun to putting the scope on it to even to sighting it in if need be. We will charge if we have to sight it in. But when they walk out, as long as they just ask for the help, we'll tell them anything they need to know.
Well, that's great. So if someone that don't know, if a new customer comes in that don't know anything about it, so if you need to know and you go to the Outdoor Junction, they can help you with every bit of the process.
Yeah, just ask us, because sometimes you don't realize that somebody doesn't know, and you just take for granted that they're coming in and just – they know what they need. So just give us a heads up and say, can you walk us through this, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Well, that's great. So you heard it from the horse's mouth right here. So if you need help with a new item, just ask. So again, that goes on along with the safety aspect, because with the muzzleloader is a little bit different. You know, there's some aspects with breaking, you know, cleaning and things like that. So just ask. Just if you got a question about it, just ask. So what do you think is the best, most popular caliber of muzzleloader that you see or that you sell?
By far, I don't know, but I could probably say 95% of all muzzleloaders are 50 caliber.
Yeah, I would guess that. If I was going to guess, I'd say 50 caliber. That's what I've seen.
The 58s and the 54s have kind of gone away. There's occasional person needing 54 caliber bullets, very seldom a 58. 45s, I don't know that it's gained any ground, but it probably hadn't lost any. And now we're seeing the 40 caliber coming around. Just because of you can push that bullet faster, so you get a flatter trajectory.
Now, do you all sell any of the traditional, like the Hammerlocks or any of those, or is all yours in line? Or
we don't do a lot with the more traditional flintlock kind of guns, and most of that's because I don't know if we'd have one person a year to come in looking for that kind of stuff.
Okay. The hunting blinds. hunting blinds and stands. You've got a great selection up there. Anything new you'd like to tell us about there?
We picked up a new line of stands, blinds and stands combination this year called Orion. We brought a load in. We sold the last one last week. But they appear to be the top end of blinds. It's basically a 2-inch thick wall of styrofoam enclosed in aluminum. As of right now, you can be in a store. We had one set up. You could get in there, and it just dampened the sound down that was out in the store, people talking almost to nothing. Almost as quiet as this sound booth.
Yes, I come in a few weeks ago and checked it out. They're really nice.
It takes about 10 minutes for two guys to set the blind itself up.
Yeah, it's really nice. I come, and then, like, I know in the past shows, you know, I like Little Debbie cakes when I go hunting or my little snacks. So, I mean, it would definitely drown out the sound of the Little Debbie wrappers.
That and the smell, too.
Yeah, get those fudge rounds or star crunch cakes, you know, you got to cover that up. So, you know, you want to be sure you hide that. So, what about stands? You got some stands to fit a big guy?
We do. We can outfit anybody, any size, single stands, double stands, whatever you're looking for.
Good deal. Now, also, scents, you know, anything with the popular hunt is, you know, got to cover up your scent. You guys carry all that type of stuff?
We carry all of it, yes. Whether you're washing your clothes or spraying it on your body or chewing the gum, we cover all the bases with it.
Anything new out there that you think about?
No, not really. There's nothing really new. I know every company likes to come out with something new every year. Last couple of years has been different. You know, we can't get the stuff, the basic stuff we need now like we could 2 years ago. So instead of a lot of the manufacturers coming out with new items, they're just trying to keep their head above and get you the basics. We're not seeing, if we were to talk ammo, and I use this as an example, we're not seeing odd stuff. It's just the basic calibers of ammo that's coming out available. And if you think about it, when you, let's just say you're running 30-06 and you can sell every box of shells that you make each day, well, you've got to break that machine down, change the caliber over, you've got to proof test it, and get it going again. You're looking at almost a day of downtime. So for that reason, right now, if it's not a common, more popular round, you're probably not going to see it.
Yeah, I know. I was looking for an odd round, you know, for my father, and it's trying to, you know.
Yeah, the manufacturers are running as hard as they can run. There's a lot of myths about what's going on and who's hoarding it. There's nothing to that. It's just that the supply and demand is so out of balance, and the supply chain is completely empty. It goes from loading it on the truck at the manufacturers to our door, and there's not, warehouses are not getting stocked, any of that right now. So you can see why you don't want to start losing days of running something that you only sell a little of. A lot of things are only run once a year, and some things once every 2 years. It's put in a warehouse and sets there. So your odd stuff that's a low-volume seller, for that reason, it won't be run until we get this supply chain kind of caught back up.
Yeah, so I like the gun I was referring to, I was talking about as a Mosin round.
Mosin the gun, yeah. Uh-huh.
They're a great hunting round. It's just hard to find ammo.
Yeah. It is. And when President Obama was in and he signed some of that, that we're not doing business with Russia, then that tightened that up too.
Yeah. Yes. It's they're great deer. They're great deer rifle. It's just
a lot like a 30-06.
Yes, they are. Just hard to find ammo. Now, camouflage and the blaze orange, you guys can hook somebody up with that, outfit them all so they can come in, get the scent, blind, come in for all their hunting.
We can do all of it except the camouflage.
When
we had the fire 2 years ago, we got out of the clothing business. We thought we would make better use of that. We wasn't in clothing big enough. It's one of the things you either need to be in it big or out of it. And we decided to get out of it, use that space for more seasonal stuff. Like we've got blinds and tree stands set up for right now where we had clothing. Since deer season's over, we'll set up turkey displays there. So we're doing more seasonal stuff in place of clothing now.
Well, that makes sense. We'll be right back with Steve Carter with Outdoor Junction. Welcome back. I'm your host, Brad Halfacre. Today I've got Steve Carter with Outdoor Junction. Steve, muzzleloader closes on the 18th, and gun season opens up on the 19th of November through January 8th. Anything new coming out with hunting rifles or anything this rifle season?
Let me say we're probably not going to see a lot of new gear. What we're seeing is a change over the last 2 years of going back. We were going in a direction of this 6.5 Creedmoor, 6.5 PRC, some of these rounds. And then ammo got so hard to get that the only thing you could find was our more older traditional rounds, 30-06, 270, 308, and for the last 2 years, that's been more of what we had to go back to gun-wise in order to get through this supply chain of none of the new cartridges out. Hornady has the patent on most of this, the newer rounds, newer popular rounds that's out right now. And since they make all the brass for these rounds, companies like Federal, Remington, those companies would be purchasing the brass from Hornady to make them. There's not been any brass. So within the last 3 to 4 months, we've started seeing the 6.5 Creedmoor, the 6.5 PRC, the 30 PRC, some of that rounds starting to come back available. So now we're shifting directions again, and we're bringing back these newer cartridges. They're newer, a little more efficient. They're burning less powder for more velocity than our older cartridges were, long and slim. These are now what we call short and fat, which makes it a more efficient burn when you're igniting a powder.
So in your professional opinion there, what do you think is the most popular deer hunting round the past two, three years?
In the last 2 years, we probably went back to the 308, 30-06, 270, 243. Maybe not in that order, but that would probably be the four most common, and 30-30. But 30-30 is falling in that same group of ammo that it's been really tough to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know growing up that was a real popular good brush gun. And
we just got it in last week, I'm sorry, and that's the first we've had in probably 6 months. We got, several cases in. I hope we've got enough to get us through hunting season with it this time.
Yeah. So you heard him said, don't wait around to get your supplies. You know, if you're needing ammo, come by and see him. Now, Steve, you offer more than just you guys promote gun safety. You teach handgun safety classes there. Correct. Break down your gun, your carry class.
Okay. We do what's called the enhanced carry permit, which is the permit that allows you to have a reciprocating agreement with the other states. We, in addition to doing those classes, anybody that comes in, let's say you first-time gun buyer, you don't know, we'll sit down and we'll work with you on the range and provide however much training you need at no cost just to get you comfortable with your guns so you could get out and shoot by yourself.
So that's awesome. So, you know, you come in and you buy a handgun there, and you spend the time with the person to make them feel comfortable with their
gun. We'll go over it from the very beginning of how to hold your hand on it, or how to put your hands on it, all the way up to shooting it.
So that's a great thing.
We don't if you walk in and you want to purchase a handgun or a gun, period, we may not tell you all of that because we don't know. We don't know a lot of times, and if we start trying to tell everybody, next thing you know, we've offended somebody by saying, well, I know that. And so it gets to be a fine line. So, again, just please tell us, and we'll go down to the range with you and work with you however long it takes till you feel comfortable.
Right. Again, if they're not mind readers, so if you don't feel comfortable, again, say something. So, well, Steve, thank you so much for being on our show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, it's been a joy as always, and it's been another great episode of Upper Cumberland Outdoors. I'm your host, Brad Halfacre. Let's get outdoors.